Father, I haven't forgotten your daughter, Shannon. Thank you, Lord, for putting in her heart, for drawing her to you. It doesn't matter when we come to you, it's just that we come, that we accept the gift to live in fulfillment that you've given us. Bless the words that she is, bless her words. May our hearts be like sponges to receive what you have to say to us through her. In your precious name, amen.
Have you had a blessed week? No, let me rephrase that. Did you know you had a blessed week? Because you did, even if you didn't know you did. Because our God is good, faithful, and he promised that your word, that is mine. I'll have to smack your fingers if you take it. Amen, amen. Okay, God, y'all. Isn't it good to worship him? Amen. Isn't it good to come together and worship? There's something about when brothers and sisters come together, and in unity, we raise him up. You know, it says that's where the anointing is, that's where the blessing is. And it goes beyond just singing worship to him, but it's good when we do it that way. It's one of my favorite things. So this morning, yeah, I realized I forgot a couple of things in the announcements. So one of them is there is an abundance of bread at Community Cupboard. So downstairs after service, if you want bread and pastries, Wendell, follow Wendell. Or who's going down? Wendell. Ann's in charge. Follow Ann down, and she'll point out the abundance. Okay. Wendell, this is terrible. I've already forgotten the second one. Oh, we got that. It was the children's story. Never mind. I did take care of that one. The other thing is I forgot to pray for the offering. And then we also want to pray for our brother Al, who is going in for some surgery. It's tomorrow, right, Al? And so we just, Monday and Tuesday, so we just want to lift him up. So I'm going to pray for both of those, and again, just take it home with you this week to pray for our brother and just, again, continue to lift him up before the Lord. So Father, first of all, we want to thank you that you are a God of abundance that provides all our needs. And so, Father, even the offering that we give back, we're just asking that a miracle work upon it, that what we feel is little, you can turn to much. Again, that it will accomplish great things for your kingdom. Father, your word tells us not only to bless what is given, but to bless the giver. And so, God, I pray over all of those that give, that blessing, and again, that you will continue to pour out your blessing upon them, that we can all continue to be blessings and give back and give out to your kingdom. Again, we give you honor and glory and praise, for you are a generous God. And Father, in speaking of that, we pray over Al as he is being directed for surgery tomorrow and the next day. We thank you that you will guide the hands of the surgeons, the skills and the gifts things you've given to them. We pray that your spirit of peace be upon Al, and we pray for great success in all of this, that he would come out of the other side, again, rejoicing in the goodness of God, that it would go better than anybody expected. And again, we give you honor, glory, and praise in your precious and wonderful name, Jesus. Amen. 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 Our precious and wonderful Savior, Jesus. This morning we are coming to the communion table, and I'm going to get us to draw the tables to the aisles and take the coverings off them. And I'm going to ask you to come on up and take it, and then just hold it and then we'll partake together. Jesus said something very interesting. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life, and whoever comes to me shall not hunger. And whoever believes in me shall never thirst. There is such life in those words, such promise to us. He is our sustenance, and he is our thirst quencher. You know, I don't know about you, how many of you had something to eat yesterday? How many can't wait to eat again? Yeah, hope pastor's message is short because my tummy is a growling. The things of this world only satisfy temporarily. I thank God that he gave us taste buds, noses to smell the good things cooking, eyes to see the beauty, eyes to just enjoy the abundance of harvesting a garden or receiving harvest from somebody else's garden because we don't garden. But it's beautiful. I have a friend who lives in Prince Edward Island and posts, you know, just pictures out from a drive, and it's just like, wow. It is as colorful as the spring flowers that we see. It is amazing. Like, I love that song, All Creation Calls. All creation declares. And it tells us in Genesis that our Jesus was there in the beginning. He was a part of that creation. And we come to the communion table this morning to the one who is the bread of life, to the one who causes us never to thirst again. Our precious Savior. And I want you to imagine for a minute the disciples are sitting around at that last Passover supper that they're going to share with Jesus. At that moment, I don't think they recognized that it would be the last. And they're doing something, they're celebrating a Passover that they're generations upon generations, all the way back to those that started it before they came out of Egypt, remembering. And I don't think one of them at that moment saw the Lamb of God that was there before them. That he was the bread of life and the drink that would satisfy them. That he was the fulfillment of all the times they had been celebrating this dinner. And there he sat before them. They were about to, but they didn't know it yet. But here we sit on this side. And we come and we celebrate this meal. And Jesus says, I want you to do this in remembrance of me until I return, until I come again. And Paul tells us we're going to keep doing this, you know, remembering his death. Because what does his death bring for us? Life. I'm the bread of life. And a flowing of the Spirit through us that quenches the thirst. So this morning, oh, Jesus, let's just take a minute and just rejoice in our precious Lord. Just take a minute. Jesus, do you see him? And from the scriptures in Matthew, at that meal, Jesus, you know, Jesus is saying, I have desired to eat this one with you. He knows what's coming. He's not looking forward to that, but what it means and where it's going. I've desired to eat this with you. And it says in Matthew 26, now as they were eating, Jesus took some bread. And after blessing it, thank you, Lord, for Jesus. He broke it and he gave it to the disciples. And he said this. Take, eat, this is my body. And we know another scripture says, broken for you. Let's partake. Thank you, Jesus. Because by your stripes, we are healed, set free. And then it says, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, thank you, Father, for giving us your Son. Thank you, Jesus, for your willingness to sacrifice for a new covenant in your blood. Thank you. He gave it to them and said, drink of it, all of you, for this is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Praise God. Let's partake. Praise God, praise God. I am forgiven. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Precious Savior, what you have done. What you have done. And we will keep remembering until you return. Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb of God. And worthy are you. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. Jesus, in his statement there, when he's talking with his disciples at that last meal, declares and decrees something. He declares and decrees that by his broken body and by his blood, there's a new covenant, forgiveness of sin and healing. And it's important for us to remember, because guess where we're going today? What's with declare and decree? You know, it's been about a year and a half ago, maybe just a little more, I'm not going to get fussy about exactly. We as a church family started declaring and decreeing, and we're going to do that this morning, but we're going to do it at the end today just to give us a little more context as we do it. And we started declaring and decreeing together each of our Sunday mornings. Now, I have spoken a bit about it over the past couple of months as we were talking about prayer and intercession and that type of thing. But today we're going to get right into the declaring and decreeing, but I'm not going to pretend that I'm going to cover it all. And I'm not going to make it a two-part message either. We're just going to look at it this morning. And here's why I want to do it. Because I don't want us to get to the place where we stand up and do it every Sunday morning because that's just what we do. I don't want it to become a tradition or a thing that we do just because we do. There is purpose and there is power in doing it, and that's why we're going to get into it today. We always have that little scripture up there in Job 22:28. This is from the Amplified Bible. It says, you will also decide and decree a thing, and it will be established for you. And the light of God's favor will shine upon your ways. I picked this one because I liked that in the Amplified kind of expanding it and giving us understandings. It starts with, you will also decide. Wow. Did you know that, according to Psychology Today, that the average adult makes 35,000 decisions a day? 35,000 decisions a day. Is there any wonder there's something called decision fatigue? But I'll say this, a lot of it just happens kind of automatically. You have a job, you've been doing a job for a long time, or a project that you're working on, you know how to do it. You kind of just do it. And if you've been driving long enough, anybody ever just driven home and then realized, how did I get here? You don't remember the drive, because automatically within you, without even, you know, there's that subconscious, you see the, you know the corner, you know the stops, you know. You made decisions without really making a decision, because you know it. Subconsciously, you're just, or automatically, you just know it. It's the same with the job. You remember the first time you started a brand new job, and the first day you went home, you were just like, because you were overwhelmed with decisions. Not that you couldn't do the job. It was just, there was a lot of decision making and a lot of information coming, but eventually you got to the place where, again, you're sitting there and you're thinking about something else, maybe coffee break or whatever, and you got the job done, and maybe you don't do that. Some of you who, you know, if you're up on a ladder, don't forget you're on the ladder. But there are other times where we have to make decisions and where we have to put more thought into it. We have to gather information. And you know, one of the things that we do as we're gathering information and making decisions is we kind of pull stuff out of our subconscious. And I'm going to say that that's that place where we believe without recognizing. And what we believe isn't always truth. I'm going to say that. We make a decision about what's going on in our life, whether it's good or bad or whatever, and how it should go down based on some of that stuff. We're good this week. How's that? Okay. Thing about a mic is I like to talk with my hands, and quite often I'll hit myself with it. So just saying. So coming back to when we're making decisions, we want to make it from a place where we're standing in faith in what God has said in His Word. And it is hard sometimes to stand in that place, first if we don't know His Word. You know, don't know exactly what he says, but the Holy Spirit said he will bring back to remembrance. And I want to tell you, there are a lot of believers out there that don't have the physical Bible in their hand, and the Spirit speaks to them and shows them the Word. But don't let that be an excuse to be lazy and not do the Word, not read the Word. So we want to make decisions, it says there, to decide. So what are we deciding for? We're deciding and then decreeing a thing. Well, okay, what exactly now does it mean? Okay, sorry, let me get back there. What is a decree? Most of us probably know, and I think I shared a bit about it, but we're going to look at it again. A little refresher. A decree is defined as, can you read that? Man, that got tiny. It was not that tiny at home. As a formal and authoritative order, especially one that has the force of the law. It is an official order given by a person with power or by a government. And so we know that. It is also about the law, a judicial decision or order. Well, we bring down laws. There's laws in our country that we abide by. One of them is that we all love is that we have to pay taxes. Love that one, right? Yeah. Okay, but it is a law. And you know what? I do appreciate roads and bridges, and I appreciate it when it's spent well and with wisdom. An official decision made by the court of law, of course, is that one. The next is to command, ordain, or decide by decree. And I think of that one, and I just rejoice when I think about what God has decreed for us. Anyhow, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm not going to move on. The next is a formal, I think I've already said that, a formal and authoritative order. Pardon me, that is a repeat. And the next one is to do with theology, one of the eternal purposes of God by which events are foreordained. So we look at this as the meaning of the word decree, and I apologize. It was way better. I'm not sure why it looks like that. Because I wanted you to see it. Sorry. That's whiny baby. You don't need that. Holy Spirit, make it real to them. So now let's take this and look at God when he decrees. When he's made a promise, when he's spoken something in his word, is that a court of law? Oh, yeah. Is there formal and authoritative order on it? And what part of the scriptures and what part of the things he's spoken, is there no authority on it? None. Okay? So we recognize that, again, I want to encourage us. The word of God is powerful and effective. It's alive. And he's speaking things over us and through us, and he wants us. Well, we'll get there. It's the highest authority in all the universes. And the one who speaks it is our Lord Jesus. In Matthew 28, 18, he declared what had been decreed. Do you hear me? He declared what had already been decreed. And this is what he said: all authority has been given me in heaven and on earth. That's our Lord Jesus. In Psalms 110, it says, this is David talking about this, a prophetic word. He says, the Lord said to my Lord. Father God said to the Lord Jesus, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. Why? What is that right hand? It's a place of authority. It is the place of authority and blessing. You're right. It's a place of authority. So here's the cool thing. We know who Jesus is. We know where he's seated. We know the authority he has. We know the love he has for us. He demonstrated it, and we experienced it this morning. And everything is through him and by him and for him. And then we go to the scriptures that says this in Psalms. For you have magnified your word above all your name. You see, we know Jesus and we know God, and I remember Crystal did a whole thing on the names of God, and we can have all those names because, and I say all those names are his name, but his word is even above his name. What he says, this is the way I see it. It's one thing to have all those things of God, but when he speaks out his word, it happens. He declares and decrees. No, he declares, yeah, he declares and decrees, and we need to follow suit. His word carries the final authority on a thing. His word is power. When we say the name of Jesus, we have his authority. But when we speak his word, what he has said, what he has declared and decreed, what has already happened? That's power. Holy Spirit presence on the Word of God. Remember last week we were talking about the Holy Spirit brooding over the Word of God in our hearts and our lives? The power. Let's just take a look at some words. I'm not going to put all these scriptures up. But let's face it, one of the things that's near and dear to our hearts is someone gets sick, and we see it all the time, or ourselves, or our bodies are wounded and injured or whatever. And we're in pain and we're in discomfort, and or somebody isn't, our hearts are broken for people. And I'm just going to call out your names here right now. We prayed for this morning for Al. We've been praying for Joanne. We've been praying for Lorinda. We've been praying for Tony. And there's many, many more that we've been praying for. Jim, thank you. Yeah. Sorry, Jim, just give it. I should just look right at him and say that. But here's the thing. We aren't just speaking the word of God to speak it. We're standing in faith in what his word says. These are just a few scriptures about healing. 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness, because by his wounds we are healed. Does that sound like something we can declare and decree? Is that a promise of God for us? Amen. Isaiah 40, 29. He gives strength to those who are weary and increases the power of the weak. I tell you what, the older I get, the little bit more wearier I get, a little sooner. Feeling a little weak. But guess what he said? How many of you would like to be like Moses? Could throw these away? Walking in total strength and whatever until the Lord takes you home. And 120 years, that's right. Imagine how much damage you can do to the enemy and how much good for the Lord you can do in 120 years. Yeah. Psalm 147:3, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Man, we are in a world that has had a lot of wounds and hurts. It's not all just physical, but it's emotional. Ah, but he's come to bind them up. Amen. Healing for the heart. Jeremiah 20:17, but I will restore to you your health and heal your wounds, declares the Lord. Whose word is the highest? He's declaring it. Jeremiah 33:6, behold, I will bring to it healing, or health and healing. I will heal them and reveal to them abundance of prosperity and security. Whew. He's got the final word. He's declaring it. Psalm 41:3, the Lord sustains him on his sickbed, and his illness, you will restore him, in his illness, you will restore him to full health. I'm sorry I'm not speaking the word right, but listen to that. Does it mean we don't get sick? So to deny that you're sick isn't, but to deny that you can be healed is truth. Don't deny you're sick. How can you heal from something if you deny it's not there? But it says, listen, in that, God's going to be with you in your sick bed, and he's going to rise you up. So it's not always an instantaneous, not always. How many of you had a cold? Prayed about it, but got walked out of it. Right? Because he will restore you to full health. And that includes cancer or any of the other things that come upon us. We're not buying any of that. And you know the one I want to speak against right now? Is the one we kind of accept as Christians. Oh, is Alzheimer or dementia or any of that. The healing of the Lord is there for that too. We're not going to just accept it and lie down and say, well, because I don't see here where it says that's the Lord's will. He has declared and decreed that we shall have the mind of Christ. Jesus did this amazing thing in Matthew 10:1. He calls his 12 disciples and he gives them the authority to drive out the impure spirits and heal every disease and sickness. He called them. He declared it. He decreed it. He goes on in John 14:12 to say, very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing. Will do the works I've been doing. And they will do even greater things than these because I go to the Father. It's ours, folks. It's ours. And you know what? The enemy doesn't want us to get a hold of it, recognize it, and think about it. We're going to, you know, we sometimes, I'm right there with you. Hello. We get caught up in the circumstances. And we get caught up in the, and again, talking about last week, you know, going to the message that week, where we can get discouraged because we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And the Lord says, just keep filling the bowl. Just keep pressing in. Keep persevering. Keep filling the bowl, because when the blessing gets poured out, it isn't going to be a cupful. It's going to be a bucket. Well, it's going to be bigger than that. And not only that, there's going to be overflow and splash out, and somebody's going to get hit by it. The good blessings of the Lord. The Lord has decreed it. How many of you have ever watched the movie The Ten Commandments? You know, one of my favorite actors, not necessarily the favorite role, but I mean he was playing a role, is Yul Brynner. Oh, he did Pharaoh good. He just looks so royal and regal all the time and arrogant to boot. But there was a statement that he made that came to mind as I was preparing this message, and it's, I'm sure you heard the line, "Let it be written, let it be done." So let it be written, so let it be done. And I thought, I don't know, is that, I don't think that's in Scripture. Which it isn't, but it is historically correct that kings ruled that way, the powers ruled that way. So let it be written, so let it be done, meant, and of course they didn't have, well, I guess in Egypt they eventually had parchment paper, but it used to be carved in stone. Where's the Ten Commandments carved, or first, in the stone? That's where we get the thing, you know, we say to someone, well, that's not written in stone, and thank goodness some of the things we say and do aren't. But you know what? Our King, our Lord, our God has said, so let it be written, so let it be done. And we just read what he said. By my wounds you are healed. So let it be written, so let it be done. And we can look even at the book of Esther where King Xerxes is kind of manipulated by Haman into decreeing and declaring that all the Jews be killed. And his signet ring goes on it, and it can't be revoked. Once the king has spoken it, it can't be revoked. Now, praise God, we know the end of the story. If you don't know the end of the story, it's in the book of Esther. Go ahead and read it. Good story. But here's the thing. Our king is not revoking what he has spoken over us. He's not revoking those promises. And so he has decreed it. So let it be written, so let it be done. And then what? Well, we have to make that decision. Remember we started with the scripture that's still up there? No, it's not still up there. I apologize. I don't know if you need me to go back. But you, this is from Job, you also decide. Are you deciding to listen to the one who has the final authority, the final say, so, and who has decreed these things, and are you now standing and declaring them? Say that out loud, Betty. Whose report are you going to believe? Yeah. Now, I want to say this. I think all of us can stand here and say, when the Lord decrees something, it's usually pretty good for us. But when men does, out of flesh, eh. So who are you going to believe? Who are you going to listen to? Who are you going to decide for? Which brings us to, what is it to declare? Oops, I think I went backwards. I did. Sorry. Declare. To declare is defined as this. To make known or state clearly, especially in explicit or formal terms, to declare one's position in a controversy. Jesus is a controversy today. And we get to stand and declare what the Lord has decreed. We can stand and declare our position. To announce officially or proclaim. To declare a state of emergency or to declare a winner. You'll serve the Lord. That, for those of you online, Betty said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The decree is there, the statement is there, and the declaration has been made. How many of you, and I'm going to get a show of hands, have given your heart to Jesus? And I declare and decree right now, you're winners. We know how it ends. You're winners. You're overcomers, you're winners. So we know, we are declaring and decreeing the end from the beginning, right? We know how this ends, and we can declare it. We know what God says. We can declare what he has decreed. I love it when I think back to our baptism, I guess it's about 3 or 4 weeks ago. We had two women who stood up here and declared who they were standing up for because of what had been decreed over their lives. To state emphatically, and I want to bring into this binding and loosing. Part of declaring and decreeing is binding and loosing. And we talked about that a while ago. I'm going to share just a little bit about it in a second. You see, because also, I think I have one more. I think it'll fit on there. No, it didn't go. So, yeah, there's something screwball, but that's okay. Because I can read it to you. It also means, declare also is can be defined as and to make plain, nothing is stopping you. To clear the way, to make free from obscurity, and to make plain. You see, when you speak, something happens. When you declare the word of God, something happens. It clears the way. There's obscure things happening. It takes it down. When we declare the word of God, when we speak God's word and his promises, it's his law. So let it be written. So let it be done. And it's because of Jesus and his finished work that we have the legal right to stand here in the earth and declare and decree what he has spoken. We're his agents here on the earth. We're his ambassadors, right? Psalm 2:17 says, or it's not 17, 7, says, I will declare the decree the Lord has said unto me. I will decree what the Lord has said unto me. I'm on page 3, so lunch is just about ready to happen here. Praise God for you, for you sticking it out, but I hope you're getting it. I hope the Holy Spirit is just moving in you. I hope seeds are being planted. To decree a promise of God, we find all of them written in God's word, promises. But you know, sometimes we've received prophetic words. We talked about that, and some of us have been sitting on them for a bit. And you may have even got a promise from Papa God directly to your own heart personally that you're just holding on and waiting for. Maybe it's for yourself or a family member or something. And so we're not going to look at the circumstances. We're going to look at what the word of the Lord says. And we're going to stand together and declare and openly speak out, making the promises plain and clear. That's what we're doing. We are, again, are declaring the end from the beginning. And here's the thing, we want to be speaking them out in faith. It's not just speaking the words. It's believing the one who has given them to us. And we speak out, again, as we speak out these words, we're seeding the ground of our hearts. We're seeding the ground of others who hear. And you know what else we're doing? We're letting the enemy know he can't mess here with us any longer. We're taking back what the enemy has stolen for us. He's a thief, a liar, a stealer, a killer, a destroyer. Nothing good. It doesn't matter. We have a God that's better than that. And he says, I'm with you. I'm for you. If God is for us, what could be against us? And he says, hey, kiddos, go get it back. Yeah. Oh, I went into the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. Took back what he stole from me. Took back what he stole from me. Oh, I went into the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. Satan is under my feet. Is that the word of God? Is that the promise of God? He's under our feet. And I want to tell you what, he's camping on ground that's not his. So we go and not only take back what he stole from us, we're taking back the ground he's camping on. He's being booted. Booted out, boot him out. When we start understanding what it means to stand and declare what has been decreed, you know what we start doing? We start intercepting. I heard one pastor put it this way. We start intercepting what he's doing while we're intercessing for people. You see, one of the things we also have to remember, we are working, so this is a football sports thing, and I know other sports have this too, but I know a little more about football. You have defensive and you have offensive. I think hockey has that too. Everybody else, I don't know. Do they have that in baseball? Anyway, sort of, okay. But we get to play both parts. We play the defensive, and I struggle with the word play, but I'm using it as a, because this is serious work, business of the kingdom. But we have both sides. We are defensive, where we step into the enemy and call out his agendas, call them down, and then we stand. Call down, let me put it this way. Call down, I just saw something I should really speak. Anything that stands opposed to God and his word, we call it down. We cancel it. We're calling him out and we're saying, no more. Do we have the legal authority to do that? Yes, we do. If it's written in the word of God, we can stand. How many of you declare what the scripture Betty shared this morning? As for me and my household, I'm going to say, or as for me and my tribe, how many generations back and forth, we're going to serve the Lord. So let it be written, so let it be done. We're going to stand to that. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And I believe, you know what? Somebody's going to have to look that up, because honestly, are you thinking, Newt, I know that's Old Testament, that's Joshua. Yeah, 24:15. Oh, and the one from my household is an axe. Okay, it's there. All I'm going to say is, it is in the scriptures. You're going to have to look it up. we're not going to spend some time with it. It's there. Google it. You'll find it. So we're standing on both offense and defense. We get to, again, cancel the enemy's agenda. Speak into those things. Don't give up. We see the agenda of the enemy taking off, and with just a few, I'm going to just take a tiny rabbit trail, okay? We read in scripture where we hear about the strong man, let me put it this way, we hear about the man whose house has been cleansed. The demon goes off into an arid place and he's been cleansed, and the house put in order. But then the demon comes back and finds that the house is empty or unoccupied. So he moves on in and brings 7 friends worse than him into the house. I'm going to say this, that who's supposed to be occupying the house? And Jesus, who's supposed to be, I'm going to say, and us, we're supposed to be occupying till the Lord returns, canceling the things of the enemy. Speaking the things of the enemy. Sometimes we get pretty comfortable and pretty cushy, and I'm going to talk about myself in this, where we just kind of like, oh, things are going good. I don't need to pray for that anymore. But you keep pressing in and keep moving on and moving in the things the Lord is showing you, and don't stop till he tells you to. Coming off the rabbit trail. you can ask more about that later if you need to, more explanation. So here we are, again, tearing down the enemy's agendas because we have authority and he's an illegal squatter and a liar and a manipulator, all of that. But we're also calling down the kingdom of God and establishing in the earth the kingdom of God. Those things that we know. The earth and all that is in it, it belongs to the Lord. And he says, you take dominion over it. You bring the things. What are the things that are in your heart? What are the things that are pressing in on you? Like, oh my goodness, how did it get that bad? Start praying into it. Start taking the word of God into it. And saying, no, this is what the Lord has decreed. I'm declaring it here in the earth. These are the good things of the Lord. As for me and my household, we'll serve the Lord. All of my children will be taught of the Lord. I will see in my lifetime everyone healed that asks for healing. I will see the harvest come in. I will share the good news of the gospel, and it will transform lives because it is the word of God. You know, Jesus was out fasting in the wilderness for 40 days and the enemy came along to tempt him. He was waiting for lunch and he was pretty hungry. And here comes temptation. And old Slewfoot there, slippery, slimy thing he is, starts messing with Jesus in the sense of who he was, his identity, what he could have if he would serve him. But what did Jesus do? He declared the word, the decrees of the Lord. Man shall not live by bread alone. You shall not worship other. He declared the truth that is decreed, just like we're supposed to. Or what, can I put it this way? He said it before us, an example. What happened when he did that? And the devil left him. For another opportune moment. We don't know exactly when that is, but it doesn't matter. He didn't win anyway. There is power in declaring and decreeing. And we have been given this power by God to change situations. Don't let your situations overwhelm you. Be overwhelmed by God's word and the power of his spirit, because guess what, honey? You got the power of God if you will look to him. Oh, he's good. He's good. So again, we come back to that word remember from Psalms 138. And this again is the NIV. No, pardon me, New King James Version. You have magnified your word above all your name. His word carries the final authority. He's your papa. He's given it to you. He says, now speak it into the earth. Because I'm behind you. I'm with you. So now we're going to do something. We're going to stand together. And let me tell you, when we speak in agreement and stand together, declaring the word of the Lord, powerful things happen. This is just, I think it is. We'll see if it moves forward. Liz? Okay, thank you. You know what, Liz, can we put up the one? Mine is too small. I don't know why it changed it, but can we put up the other one? You can close down my PowerPoint. Yeah, let's put up that one so people can actually see it and read it. So as we come, okay, so let's just take a minute. We want to keep doing this because it's powerful. Not just because we do it. I want to encourage you. We send it out on the bulletin. And I haven't in the last while because we've been sending it in bulletin and people weren't taking it. But quarterly I was putting out all the decrees that we have been speaking. Thinking that, you know, you can take it. If you want one, just let me know. I'll give them all to you. To take home and stand and decree these things. You can know it before you come. This one is, we've done three because there's five Sundays this month. We've done it three Sundays in a row. So there's a new one coming next Sunday. But not to just, oh, that's nice, to stand and do it, to actually open up the email and read it and look at it, because it's for you. It's for us and what we've been called to do. I will declare the decrees of the Lord. And so let's do this together. Okay, Liz, let's put that up. Maybe. I think it's right there. We'll see, maybe. It wasn't there? Okay. Okay, we'll just go back to this one. That's perfectly fine. I'm sorry. So we at Camrose Community Church decree and declare that we seek the Lord's strength and his presence continually. Our God strengthens us and helps us. Therefore, we do not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we don't give up. We are blessed because we remain steadfast under trial. For when we have stood the test, we will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Amen and amen. Bless you. Okay. Well, again, let us pray before we go this morning again. Father, there's your word which you have decreed. Are we blessed or are we blessed? Thank you, Lord, that even in struggles and health issues and whatever, your promises stand sure. And we are going to declare and decree them over our lives, into the earth, over our families' lives, because you have given us the authority. It is lawfully, so it is written, so let it be done. And again, may you get all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, for you and only you are worthy of it all. Again, we ask all of your blessing. We thank you for all of your blessing. In Jesus' wonderful, glorious, mighty, precious name. And all the saints said, amen, amen. Go blessed. Get some lunch, you hungry folks. And then go lunch on the Lord. Amen.